Also, happy Mother's Day to our moms here today. And again, happy Mother's Day, Mom, to you. I'm going to cry again. Person who invested deeply in my life. I'm grateful for that. I'm sure that you will remember to connect with your mom today in some way. For some of you, I know some of the memories are not that easy, not that joyful. I'm sorry you had a difficult time. For some, your moms have moved into eternity, and they're not here with you, and those memories will have to suffice today for you. For others, this is a hard day because it reminds you that motherhood has not come to you. And I know that's difficult. For others, you remember the children that are not with you. And how hard that is. And for others, the memories are pleasant and they're joyful. And we're grateful for that. So whatever your mom experiences are and have been, I want you to remember this truth. Remember this truth. That there's a God in heaven who loves you. That there's a God in heaven who loves you. And will never love you any more than he loves you right now. There's a God in heaven who loves you. And he will never love you any more than he does. In our passage in 2 Peter chapter 3, Peter is going to challenge us to remember another important truth that God has revealed to us. So you can see on the screen, I'll keep going here. This is from some of the commentaries that I've been studying. These are titles for chapter 3, 2 Peter chapter 3. Confidence in the Christian life, Christ's second coming, an imperative or a command for spiritual conquest. The day of the Lord will surely come. These next, on the next slide, is the passage we're going to look at today, verses 1 through 7. Next slide, if you would, please. There we go. Peter's admonition, the second coming, an object of skepticism. Scoffers challenge the truth of Scripture concerning the coming of the Lord. So it gives you an idea. I give those to you so that when we read the passage, it might make just a little bit more sense for you. So this is God's Word, 2 Peter chapter 3, verses 1 through 7. This is now the second letter that I'm writing to you, beloved. In both of them, I am stirring up your sincere mind by way of reminder that you should remember the predictions of the holy prophets and the commandment of the Lord and Savior through your apostles. Knowing this first of all, that scoffers will come in the last days with scoffing, following their own sinful desires. They will say, "Where is the promise of his coming? For ever since the fathers fell asleep, all things are continuing as they were from the beginning of creation." Now, Peter, for they deliberately overlooked this fact, that the heavens existed long ago, and the earth was formed out of water and through water by the word of God. And that by means of these, the world that then existed was deluged with water and perished. But by the same word, the heavens and earth that now exist are stored up for fire, being kept until the day of judgment and destruction of the ungodly. Father, this is your word. It is true. It is applicable. It can change our lives. Help us to know it well so that we know you well. In Jesus' name. All right, Peter says this is what letter? The second letter, okay? Do you know what the first letter is? Okay, yeah, that's a pretty easy question right there. Just trying to see if you know, okay? There isn't a third Peter, so you have to worry about that one. We won't be going into that book here lately. But we have first, and he says in chapter 1 of 1 Peter, he says he's writing here to these people who live in what is modern-day Turkey. Then it was called, there were provinces, part of Asia Minor, Cappadocia, Bithynia, Galatia, and this letter would have been passed around. So they already know just a little bit about what Peter's writing about and know a little bit about Peter's heart as he puts together his second letter. But I remind you this, this letter is also for you and me. That's why we're looking at it. It's for us. How do we look at it so that we know God better, as we say, that grow in the grace and knowledge of our Lord Jesus Christ, his theme for the passage. And he says this, he says, in both letters, I wanted to stir up your sincere mind. I want to stir up your sincere mind. In other words, I want to awaken you to some important things, because you know what? You might have forgotten those things. Does anybody ever forget anything? Yeah. We all know how that goes, right? We understand that. And so he knows that there's things that he's taught them, that he's been a part of their lives, that they need to bring back up to the surface. They need to remember again. They maybe need to meditate on it a little bit more. They need to make sure that it's a part of who they are as he goes through the things and instructions that he has. He says, these are things I want you to remember. I want you to go back and I want you to remember the predictions of the holy prophets. In other words, the things that the prophets gave, the prophecies they gave, the predictions they gave, the things that they said are going to come true, I want you to remember those things, because it's quite possible you have forgotten some of those things. Now, you recognize that Peter didn't have what we had in the Word of God. Most of probably what he had would be more oral tradition. That's been passed on to him, God's Word. They might have had some of those books together for them. But the things that they've heard, he wants to remind them and bring them back up to their minds so that they can remember what the prophets spoke about. And it's important to understand that, because the prophets spoke about the coming of the Lord, the day of the Lord. You go back in the book of Joel, he talks about that. Those prophets talked about those things that he's referring to here in this passage. Jesus was one of those prophets too. Now there are some religious things that just call him a prophet. No, he's the great prophet, okay? But he was a prophet. He gave prophecies of what's going to happen. He was the Son of God in that too. Important to understand that. But he also says, I want you to understand the commandment that you've understood from your apostles. The apostles were those who had seen Jesus after he resurrected. When he speaks of apostles, that's the definition that we have that carries through the New Testament. Those that have seen Jesus after his resurrection. And so we think about that. Who are the people that they could have possibly known as apostles? The people that would be familiar to them. Well, let's see. They might have had the book of Matthew at this time. Peter's written somewhere around 65, 66 B.C. or A.D. And Matthew was written kind of earlier. They could possibly have had some of Paul's writings. Paul considered himself an apostle because he saw the resurrected Lord in some kind of vision or dream as a part of his life. We understand that for them. How about Peter himself? Peter was an apostle. You've heard from me, he says. Now listen to me again. And there are other writers that possibly they might have had some information from those books. The book of Mark. Book of Mark was probably put together, Peter and Mark working together. Peter probably gave a lot of information to Mark, but he wasn't an apostle. He wasn't one of the disciples. And Luke wasn't one of the disciples. Luke did his investigation. He gave this to Theophilus, as he says in the first chapter there in Luke. He says, I've done my investigation. I've talked with eyewitnesses. I've done things that I need to do to be able to give you this gospel account of Jesus Christ. And possibly they might even had the book of James, because James is one of the earlier books written, 45 to 50 A.D. It's quite possible they had these things, but he wants them to remember what they possibly maybe have heard, because they didn't have this. They wouldn't have had a manuscript like we had. There would have been just simple manuscripts, maybe one that they had. But he says, I want you to remember what the prophets wrote, what they predicted, and I want you to know what the apostles wrote. I want to remind you of these things. I want to stir up your mind. I want to awaken your mind so that you can go back and you can see this is what they were talking about in their prophecies. Now, I was thinking about that. I was thinking about, when was the last time your mind and my mind was stirred up by the Word of God? When was the last time your mind, my mind, was stirred up by the Word of God, that it was awakened? I mean, we have all of His revelation. It's right here for us. But the fact is, once we start reading it, illumination can take place by the Holy Spirit. He brings things out to us, and we read it, and we go, you know, I've never seen that before. It's been in the Bible all this time, but I've never seen that. That's called the illumination of the Holy Spirit. He brings something to our attention that we just haven't seen before, and we go, oh, yeah, that's in Scripture. Somebody told me about that many years ago. Now, the question to follow up was that, how are you going to allow the Spirit to stir up your mind from the Word of God this week? That every day this week that ends with a Y, they all do, just in case you don't know that, okay? Every day that begins with or ends with a Y, right? How are you going to let the Word of God speak into your life and stir you up so that you know God's truth even better? Get into His Word every day. Take time, my friend, get into His Word every day. He has something special for you. Each day as you read, be a part of that. One of the things you could do to help yourself out with that would, I wonder if you've ever heard this suggestion before. Maybe you could read 2 Peter every week. How many of you read 2 Peter this week? All right, I got about 7 of you. All right, good. It's a good start. Maybe 14 next week, right? Take the time to read it. Put it in your heart. You'll better understand what I'm going through when we get to the sermon and be a part of that. But also I want to remind you this. On Sundays, you need to have your daily dose of God's Word before you get here. It's really important. It's really valuable. You need to be fed by the Lord before you get here, before the Lord feeds you through what we give or through Sunday school. Take the time to do that, because that may be the best thing that you have for this day. It may be better than the sermon. Imagine that, huh? God does those sorts of things. Let Him stir up your mind. Last week, thank you for the time off. Appreciate it. I had a wonderful celebration with my mom for her birthday. I think I told you it was her 65th birthday. I think I told you that, right? We had a wonderful time. Thank you for the time away. But the Gideon speaker was here, Russ Brown, dear brother in Christ. So thankful for him. And I understand that you saw a video of a man whose mind got stirred up by the Word of God and changed his life. Am I correct about that? He did a great job. That's what the Word of God does. It can stir yourself up, help you follow Him more closely. But He must have stirred up your wallet too, because you gave $2,019 to buy Bibles for the Gideons to distribute. Way to go, Majestic. I think Mr. Brown told you this. They like coming to Majestic. It's amazing how much you can give when you have cash in your pocket, right? Thank you. Thank you. I think that's over 400 Bibles, about 1,200 New Testaments that can bring a piece, a person to Jesus Christ. Thank you. Well done. I'm so proud of you. It was so good to read those numbers on Monday when the offering was counted. Way to go, Majestic. You'll remember the words of the apostles and the prophets if you take time to read the words of the apostles and the prophets in the Bible. I know that sounds pretty profound, I understand. But that's where they're found. That's where they're found. So keep reading. Keep reading. Keep putting yourself in the Word of God. I've given you this quote maybe 5 times, 6 times in 22 years here, so I know you don't have it memorized yet. I don't either, but it's so good. E.M. Bounds is a man, a great man of prayer. Wrote 5, 10, 15 books on prayer. And he said this: the men who have most fully illustrated Christ in their character and have most powerfully affected the world for Him have been men who spend so much time with God as to make it a notable feature in their lives. That was my brother Dave Grew and my youth pastor. We heard the testimonies. He wasn't perfect, like each of us aren't perfect, but it was a notable feature in his life. That quote didn't include what it says next, which I've read in past. It says this: to be little with God is to be little for God. Translated differently, to be much with God means you'll be much for God. And I don't think you'd be here today if you didn't want to be much for God. And I'm not going to ask a raise of hands who wants to be little for God. Because I don't think anybody here wants to be little for God. But invest yourself. Be much with God in the Word of God and prayer. And you'll be much for God in your life, in your sphere of influence. Well, Peter tells us that God has revealed His truths to us. He's made them very plain, made it very clear here. And we need to be a part of that. But then he gives us kind of the bad news. He says there are going to be many people who will oppose the truths of God. There'll be many people who will oppose the truths of God. We've talked about false teachers in chapter 2. Now he says, now, there's not only false teachers, they're scoffers. And you know what scoffers do. They go, they might not use those terms, but you know how it is, okay? Those are the scoffers. And scoffers, you know what they do? You got it. They scoff, right? Okay, you're with me. That's what he says they're doing here. They're scoffing about the Word of God. That God's truths are not God's truths. You don't need to follow God's truths. We can make fun of them. We don't need to follow those. He says that, knowing this, first of all, that scoffers will come in the last days. The last days, the days where we'd look for Christ to come and for His judgment to be meted out over the earth someday. Joel talks about the day of the Lord. We, I think, kind of live in those days too. They considered in the last days. We, if you talk to most people, we'd say, yeah, we're in the last days before Christ comes again to be a part of our lives. But why did they scoff? Because they were following their own sinful desires. You know why they would scoff and say, this isn't the Word of God, this isn't the truth of God? Why? Because they didn't want to follow that, and they wanted to be sinful in themselves. They wanted to do what they wanted to do. And so they would say, what God says about this, we don't need to regard that. Oh, you're kidding me. That's not really true. We live in an enlightened age. Oh, we hear that all the time around here in the world, don't we now? Oh, well, that was old time. That's old time thing. No, we're enlightened now. We're way past that now. We would scoff at that and say, no, the things that are going on then still go on now. They just are broadcast more on social media. We understand how that is. And they're scoffing, saying this, where is the coming of the Lord? Where is the coming of the Lord? He said He's going to come back, but He hadn't come back. Therefore, was disregarded. He's really not coming back. He says, things have been going on. This is the scoffer saying in verse 3 and 4. These are the scoffers saying, hey, nothing's changed since our fathers fell asleep. And he's talking about the fathers. He's talking about the Old Testament friends and saints that we have. Abraham, Isaac, Jacob, Joseph, Joshua, David, Daniel. Those are the fathers he's talking about. Fall asleep means they died. Nothing has changed, he's saying. They're saying, nothing has changed. Nothing has changed in regard to them. And from the beginning of creation, all the way, continuing from the beginning of creation, he said that things are the same. The Lord hasn't acted as He said He would. He said He'd come back. Where is He? Where is He? I'm sure if you've noticed that there is present-day opposition to the truths of God. Have you noticed that? Like, all you got to do is watch the news. Or read the newspaper. Which 7 of us do. I realize that. Oh yeah, just look at that. The people are scoffing at the Word of God. God didn't really mean what He said. And that's not for us this day. It kind of reminds me of this. You remember like in Genesis chapter 3? God created the heavens and the earth. He created man. And Satan enters into the world. And God has given him instruction about don't eat from this tree. And what does Satan do? Yeah, he scoffs at what God said. Did God actually say, you shall not eat from this tree? Did God not say you should eat? He's a scoffer. He's causing doubt in their mind. And they fell for the bait. Probably you and I would have done the same thing. Unfortunately. Or maybe this day, our day, reminds us of what happened in Judges chapter 17. In these days, there was no king in Israel. Everyone did what was right in their own eyes. that sound a little bit like the world we live in now today? Just do whatever you want to do. It's fine. Whatever you believe is fine. Don't worry about what God says. Let's scoff at that. Ha, 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 ha. God didn't know what he's talking about anyway. So in the midst of that, how are you and how am I growing in my ability to be able to defend the truth of God? Because we're going to have to do that. We sometimes call it apologetics. The defense of what we believe. Knowing what we believe and why we believe it. Right? Peter writes about that in 1 Peter chapter 3, verse 15. He says this, but sanctify Christ in your heart as Lord. Different version than what's up there. And always be prepared to give an answer to those who would ask you for the reason for the hope that you have. But do it with gentleness and meekness. Or do it with gentleness and respect. See, because they're going to. The world is going to do that. Because they don't want to follow Jesus and what he has for us in his word. And Peter instructs us and encourages us. He reminds us. He stirs up our mind to help us understand. We need to be able to defend what God's word is. With gentleness and meekness. With respect to those who are around. And to share together why God has this for us. Why God has his word is because he's God and he knows what's best for us. He wouldn't be God if he didn't know what's best for us. But he knows that. And he knows that there's blessing in following what he has instructed us in. And it'll be an encouragement to us. And it could be a saving to our country. We're getting ready to do vacation Bible school. Brought my little bag here. Thanks, Stephanie. You can see what it is, the theme. God's rock solid truth in a world of shifting sands. They got it. They got it. They know where our students, kids and students are at in a world of shifting sand. Let me share with you what we're going to look at. On Monday, theme is this. Truth comes from God and never changes. Satan tricked Adam and Eve. Some say that truth is what I believe. God says truth comes from me. That's what our world says. They say, some say truth is what I believe. This is what I believe, so this is the truth. God says, no, truth comes from me, and I don't change. I know what's best for you. On Tuesday, God's plan is best. Daniel chose God's ways. Some say, do what makes you happy. God says, my plan for you is even better. Wednesday, everyone needs Jesus. We'll talk about the rich young ruler. Some say being good gets you into heaven. God says, everyone is a sinner and needs a savior. That's the truth. Thursday, Jesus is the only way. John wrote about Jesus. Some say there are many ways to get to heaven. God says Jesus is the only way to heaven. Friday, speak the truth in love. Paul encouraged the Ephesian church. Some say if you don't agree with me, you don't love me. God says speak the truth in love. They get it. They get it. The kids are going to understand how to have a rock solid faith in a world of shifting sands. I appreciate all of you who help out in Vacation Bible School. Everybody can be involved in Vacation Bible School. You can help get craft material. You can help with snack material. You can pray for us. You can come and serve. Again, we need 8 or 10 more assistant leaders to be a part of each class. We can use you. Because we want to reach kids for Christ like people did to me years ago. We went to Vacation Bible School for 2 weeks at one time. Right? Some of you remember that. I don't know how those leaders ever made it through. it's a big deal. But we care because we want them to understand God's truth and how it can change their life. Thank you. All right. Peter tells us, God's truths have been revealed. The truths of God have been revealed. But Peter reminds us, the truths of God are going to be opposed in our world system. Thirdly, he says this. Remember, the God of truth will make things right in his time. That's verses 5 through 7. Peter goes back to the past as he answers their question. Where's the promise of his coming? Things haven't changed. We don't see God anywhere. He hasn't come back. And they say, Peter says this, for they, the scoffers, deliberately overlook this fact. Not just overlook it, they deliberately overlook this fact that the heavens existed long ago, and the earth was formed out of water and through water by the word of God, and that by means of these, the world that then existed was deluged with water and perished. So he goes back to the creation, and he says, God spoke the creation into being. It says, if you go back and read in Genesis chapter 1, and God said, it says 9 times in that passage, that remembering. And God said, he's spoken into existence. Out of nothing, he spoke the world into existence. How important that is. He's saying to them, God stepped into the world in his time. When it was time to create the world, God stepped in. Comparing it, when it's time for Jesus to come, he's going to step in his time. And then he says, as the world got worse, which it did, Genesis chapter 6 through 9, flood, every intention of the heart was evil, it says, of those people. God stepped in judgment and sent the flood. And God spoke that. And he didn't have to do any, magic. And he just had to spoke that the depths would open up, the skies would open up, and there was a flood. And it was a flood of judgment. The creation was a creation of life, where the flood was a judgment upon the people. Now, out of nothing, God made the world, the cosmos. Out of nothing, he made what we know. And I want to just help you understand this. This is the truth. God didn't do a little creating and then leave it up to millions and billions of years to finish his creation. He didn't do that. He made the creation. He brought the creation out in 6 days. And on the 6th day, he created man and woman. The text clearly tells us that. And it's been said of God in this. He is the first cause uncaused. In other words, he caused creation, but he himself was uncaused, because he's always existed. Little theological tidbit for you there. Peter reminds the scoffers that the Lord, in his time, also stepped into the world through the flood of Noah's day. He created the world and the water, and then he used his created water to judge the world through the flood. That's the past. He goes back to that to help them understand God has been involved in his world. He has stepped into his world. He just has done it in his time. And then he goes on into verse 7. But by the same word, the same way he spoke, he says, the heavens and earth that now exist are stored up for fire, being kept until the day of judgment and destruction of the ungodly. He says, that's in the past. I would say, but this is what's going to happen in the future. The world is going to be destroyed, not by water, but by fire. You know why he can't do it by water? The rainbow. He said, I will not destroy it by water. He's going to someday, this world, what we know, will be destroyed by fire, and there'll be a creation of a new heavens and a new earth. And those who know Jesus Christ, a part of his life, that know the Old Testament faith of God, they'll be a part of those new heavens and those new earth. And he says, but all that's going to happen in his time. Because they're saying, he said he's coming back, but he hasn't come back. Peter's reminding them, he will come back in his time. He knows when it is the time to come back and be a part of our lives. We're now living in the day of grace and mercy. But one day God will step back into his world and judge, and he'll make things right. As we look at it now, we go, man, it's just a lot of wrong. But he'll make things right in his timing. The scoffers were right about one thing. The scoffers were right about one thing. He hadn't come yet. They got that right. But they didn't get the second part right. He's going to come. It's just going to be in his time. You know what? We don't know when that time's going to be. Don't try to figure it out. Because Jesus didn't know. Jesus said, only the Father knows when I'm coming back again. So be all right about that. Trust him. But he will come back. You know why? Because when God makes a promise, he always keeps it. He's not like us. Whenever he makes a promise, he will keep it. And he made a promise, said, I'm coming back. Acts chapter 1. Jesus is ascending into heaven. The angel said, he's coming back. He's coming back in the same way he left you. He's coming back in a physical body. He's coming back someday. Just lean into that and trust him into that. You see, God's timing is his timing, and it's not our timing. You've probably figured that out in life by now, haven't you? God's timing is his timing, and it's not our timing. But if he made a promise, he will fulfill it, and he will come back and be a part of our life. I don't know. Anybody read their open windows this morning? This is a really good, great little devotional that's up there. You can get it for the next few months back there at the tables coming in. Here's what it says. Here's the title for Sunday, May 12th. Promises, promises. And the little prayer at the end is this. Father, thank you for being faithful to all your promises. Just so we're talking about God fulfilling his promise to come back and have judgment someday. The devotional's on it that day. God, you're amazing, right? You're amazing. Just what we're talking about today. He said, this is true. He said he's coming back. The scoffers are saying, he's not coming back. We haven't seen him. God said, yeah, I'm coming back. I'll be back, he says, right? But it'll be in my timing. And I'm coming back. And there's going to be judgment too. And I want to remind you this. You don't want to go through that judgment. You do not want to go through that judgment. You want to be on his side. You want him as your Savior. And if you don't know him as your Savior, may I invite you today to make that decision. We put it as simple as the ABCs around here. Admit to God that you're a sinner. Because you are. We all are. Believe that Jesus Christ is the Son of God and that he died on the cross and he rose again for you. Because he did. And see, how does that come about in your life? Confess your faith to him. Say yes to him. Invite him to be a part of your life so that you would know without a shadow of a doubt that when you die, when your strength is failing, and your days are coming to an end, you would know for certain that Jesus Christ is a part of your life. John told us that in 1 John 5. He said, he that has the Son has the life. He that does not have the Son of God does not have the life, does not have eternal life. Heaven someday. The new heavens and earth someday. Part of his life. Oops, somebody's phone's going off. Oh, they're telling me it's time to quit. I get it. All right. Let me finish out. I'm almost done. So here, think about this. Here's what Jesus said regarding his coming. He said, you don't know the time, but I want you to be ready and prepared and waiting. I don't know that he's coming at 12:30, but he could. I'm not making a prediction. Please don't walk away with a prediction. I don't know, but he could. And I want you, I want me, I'm going to be ready. I'm going to be prepared, living for Jesus. So when he comes, as Wayne Watson sang many years ago, he said, there'll be no big change. Such a good line. When Jesus comes, there'll be no big change because we're living for him. Make sure Jesus is your Savior today. Make sure you're living the life he wants you to live as a Christian, as a godly man, a godly woman, a godly teenager, a godly child for him. All right. Father in heaven, this is your word. We understand that you have revealed your truths to us through your word. We understand that many in our world and our world system are going to oppose that. And Father, we need to be prepared to be able to help them understand through the power of the Holy Spirit that this is your word, these are your truths, and they're the best thing for us. Father, as Christians, as believers, help us to get into those so that we know them, so that we remember them, that which the holy prophets have given, that which the apostles gave to us. And Father, my prayer is that nobody here today would go through your judgment. The judgment of whether you know Jesus or you don't know Jesus. The that everybody here would know Jesus as their Savior and as their Lord. Thank you. Do we get to celebrate our mothers?